Good afternoon, everyone. It is producer John Extraordinaire, and this is another edition of Sports Chat with my co-workers.
You mean co-stars?
Yeah, co-stars. And Jake, make sure that the your microphone's close to close to you. But yeah, it's another edition of Sports Chat. How's everyone doing today?
We're good.
Doing extremely well. It's the last weekend in 2022 that won't feature live football. So,
I know that is crazy. You know, because we kind of briefly talked last week about high school football and you know how it's going to be coming here sooner than we had imagined. So I guess. Where do you want to start the ball?
Well, like we know that we're down to the final few spots to see who, because we got more teams that are now getting into the playoffs for the MILB. Like the Dayton Dragons are now probably have 50 wins now. Maybe they might be the number 7 seed, but Great Lake Loons, they just got themselves 60 wins, and they probably should be the number 1 seed team to beat.
Yeah, so Great Lakes is clinched, and right now the team chasing, I know it was West Michigan at a point. I believe that they are, and they're still very much in the mix. Those are the two teams that seem most likely in the East Division, maybe Lake County, to make a run at it. Unfortunately, the Tin Caps, who have played better in the second half, unfortunately kind of victims of circumstance. If you're a minor league team, they can't be too concerned about your playoff push at the major league level. They have to worry about what they do. And as a result of Robert Gasser, their ace pitcher, being sent to Milwaukee's organization, Corey Rozier, I believe, was sent to Washington. Robert Hassel was sent to Washington. Juan Soto, of course, was the big prize that we talked about a little bit last week. And San Diego does ultimately swing a deal. So, unfortunately, the Tin Caps and even the Lake Elsinore Storm, who lost their best player down at the low A level, kind of the victims of circumstance, so to speak, and their playoff chances now significantly hurt. But let's see now perhaps what this next group of Tin Caps can do. We know it's not likely they make the playoffs, but the last month or so of the season, let's see if maybe they can make a good impression and perhaps aid their careers long term.
And Matthew, you actually are correct. Great Lakes right now is in the lead in the standings. West Michigan is second. Lake County is third. And this is in the Midwest League East. Fort Wayne is unfortunately in fifth. And Jake, do you have any other divisions?
Well, like I said about the Sea Rapids Crows, will probably be the number one seed. Great Lakes is number one, but I think the number two seed would probably be Cedar Rapids Colonels, because they're only just one win lower than the Great Lake Loons are.
Cedar Rapids are number one in their division. They are part of the Midwest League West, and South Bend, which is the Tin Caps rival, is in second.
Well, and to finish the thought, John, you talked about the East standings. At least if there's a silver lining for the Tin Caps, it's that, again, Great Lakes already clinched. So if they win the division in the second half, you don't have to, you know, be first in the division. It's not like the first half of the season. You just have to be second. It's still somewhat of a mountain to climb for them to get there. But at least as long as you see the Loons at the top of the standings, you have to feel as though your chances are a little bit better. But still, it would take something Herculean for the Tin Caps to reach the playoffs, unfortunately, and would most likely mean another season without postseason baseball in Fort Wayne.
Well, I may say this, but it looks like the Sea Rapids Colonels got the same wins, just like those, so we have a tie for number one seed. Mm-hmm. And for both of them, I have to say.
Yeah, it was Cedar Rapids, I believe, clinched that first half playoff spot. They've been playing extremely well all year. Way out there in Iowa.
In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to be precise.
Yeah. Not too far away from the Field of Dreams that we'll see the Cubs and the Reds, I believe, this week out there, next week maybe. Two monumental great teams at the moment that are miles, miles below 500, but still should be really interesting. But yeah, not too far away. It's a little bit of an MILB connection there. to the major league game. But again, Cedar Rapids, it's interesting because Great Lakes hasn't been as good the second half. The question is, are they coasting a bit? And there's also a matter of, I'm sure some of their players have probably gotten called up based on how well they were playing, which is always difficult to manage. But it's a situation where you don't want to be complacent. You don't want to just coast the second half of the season. Now all of a sudden somebody else is playing better ball than you are going into the playoffs. And it's only a 2-round playoff system as well. So you want to continue to be playing good baseball, and that's what Cedar Rapids and Great Lakes have to be concerned with right now.
Even so, we still also got, I just recently got the results from BattleBots, Slugfest first competition. The bot that had made to take on Gigabyte was Hypershock. And Hypershock, I just saw what he had just done, you guys. He destroyed Gigabyte by taking off that spinning dome right off him. And now he's in the tournament of champions, taking on Tombstone, Endgame, and Tantrum, which means only 4 bots down. I just one from Slugfest down, 4 to go.
Yeah. My brother and I used to watch a little bit of that. Like, if it was ever on TV, we would watch it. And I just don't know. Like, I mean, it's the fact that I would almost not want to enter, because, like, we all had, like, those school projects where you had to build something. And there was part of me was always, like, so sad that you could build something and then, like, eventually it's going to break. And you just can't think, man, all that time. But I have so much respect for engineers specifically, you know, because, like, the things that they have to understand and do is just, like, mind-boggling. And the fact that they could just, within a short amount of time, whip up literally a robot and then compete, that's just incredible.
Even so, now that we got Hypershock in the Tournament of Champions taking on Tombstone, Endgame, and Tantrum, there's only 4 more spots left in the Tournament of Champions, because next up is Slugfest number 2. The Wayne bot will take on the 2018 Desperado champion, Donald Hudson, and his battle bot, Lockjaw.
Well, so let me ask you, is this like a, did they have like a full season, or is it like a tournament?
It's more like a tournament for just getting 5. They only got 3 bots that are automatically in who won the giant nut. They're needing 5 bots to get into it, but this is just season 7 that they just started, but they'll be back for a full regular season.
Okay. Well, so yeah, is that televised as well?
Yes, on Discovery, that is, and it can be on Discovery Plus, too. Yeah.
This is because everybody has to have a streaming service right now, it seems. Everybody has to have something.
I think the only one that doesn't have a streaming service is our sports network.
Yeah. That may honestly be so, because the NFL has a streaming service now. I mean, who would have thought? Everybody seems to have one. So if Discovery Plus is more so your up your alley, perhaps, rather than Discovery Channel.
You mean it's right up your alley?
Indeed.
Like John Hammond always says from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and that would definitely fit in well with the fact that Discovery Channel, we've all seen at least a few documentaries about dinosaurs on that channel. You know,
or anything like on science, like how it's made, or how does it do it?
Yeah. Exactly.
But with that coming, because you did say NFL, but we got some preseason football games that are happening this week, that are coming up next week, as well as our Colts. They'll be out of town taking on the Buffalo Bills, while your Chicago Bears have a home game against Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, that could be interesting. Well, Matt Nagy revenge game, as he's back in Kansas City. Of course, it's preseason, so it doesn't really matter. But preseason even got underway Thursday night with the Hall of Fame game, which, you know, was fairly interesting. I mean, it was never really that close, but I think it's probably the first time I ever watched the Hall of Fame game in its entirety. Raiders wound up winning 27-11 over the Jaguars. No team or a couple starters played, but it's questionable how much they're going to start right off the bat. Trayvon Walker, the number one pick, had himself a sack early on, and then they were keen to get him out, but ultimately, the Raiders, too, is for whatever it's worth, look pretty good. the Jaguars looked like the Jaguars. But there's plenty to be optimistic about, I think, for Jacksonville. When we put aside all the jokes, they brought in a lot of talent. They spent more than anybody else did in terms of guaranteed money this year for free agency. But I thought that Hall of Fame game was really interesting. Can't wait to see the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I believe it's tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know much about that, but even when you said about those Raiders, even though they already got themselves their first preseason win, let's see if they can get their second one. It's Sunday, August 14th. They'll be having a home game taking on the team from all the way from the state of Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings.
This was an interesting thought that I saw on social media yesterday, where people said the Vikings are a sleeper team. And my only thing about that is, like, I mean, they're good. They've got the talent to perhaps win their division with Green Bay looking somewhat vulnerable. But how many times have we said in a row the Vikings are a sleeper team? It feels like this, like, the fifth year in a row we've said, watch out for the Vikings. Don't overlook them. I mean, we say that every year about Minnesota.
Kind of like, it sounds like the Vikings are playing their football in their sleep, I think it is.
I mean, they seemingly do when it's big games. And I'll put this out there right now. Kirk Cousins has to deliver this year. I mean, he's got the weapons. They need to put something together. They let go of Mike Zimmer. They let go of their general manager, Rick Spielman. It's a new regime. It's an offensive-minded head coach that they've got now. They need to put something together. And he needs to take that next step and really elevate his game.
Even so, I just remembered, because the Philadelphia Eagles did got one of their NFL players that was on the Masked Singer on Team Cuddly, and that was Jordan Mahalion, a.k.a. the Thingamabob from Team Cuddly on Season 7. He was on the Masked Singer.
Yeah, the Thingamabob is certainly an interesting name to go off of, but...
But
hey.
Even though he was... Because he did say that he grew up listening to rock music, and he was an Australian football player. He is.
Oh, I'll tell you, those Aussie rules football, for no one that's watched it, it's very similar to rugby, but it seems like every year more and more college football punters and kickers are from Australia. And I played Aussie rules, and they're a little bit older, but they are very, very good kickers usually. And they produce just some outstanding players, outstanding athletes from Australia every year. It's not even a huge population in that country, which is odd. But they produce just incredible athletes seemingly every year. Huge delegation at the Olympic Games. But if you can do well in Aussie rules football, you got a real chance to come over and play NFL football, or at least American college football, and do well at it.
Even so. But we also got from other preseason games I got here is that Dallas Cowboys, they'll be taking on the Denver Broncos. Well, and the other ones we got is, well, Pittsburgh Steelers as a home game is they're taking on a team from all the way from Seattle, Washington, the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, there are a couple little subplots in those games. Again, it's first preseason game. We maybe won't get any answers to them. One we know for sure, and that's that this season, and I think really every year, there's always uncertainty surrounding the Cowboys head coaching position. Jerry Jones has at times been a little bit erratic on when he thinks that it's at the end of the road for his head coach. Sometimes in the case of Jason Garrett, the leash is probably too long. Other times, maybe that leash isn't quite long enough. But there is always going to be that question heading into the season. Because the Cowboys have the talent to make a deep run, and the fact they didn't last year is an incredible disappointment. The fact they went out so early against San Francisco in a performance that really for the first half they looked lifeless throughout a lot of it. Mike McCarthy has to shoulder a lot of that blame, and I think he's going to be on the hot seat. He could be one of those surprising dismissals at the end of the year if the Cowboys don't have at least a playoff win or two. But then you mentioned the Steelers, and of course there's the conversation of who's going to start at quarterback for them. It seems like the two most notable names in that conversation are Mitchell Trubisky, the former Chicago Bear high pick, and Kenny Pickett, who they took in the first round out of the University of Pittsburgh, who shares a stadium with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have a practice facility that is either right next to, or I believe actually attaches on to the Steelers' facility. They picked him high to play at some point. Mason Rudolph knows the system really well. He's still there. So maybe we'll get a little bit more clarity on where things stand in the Steelers quarterback room after game one. You'd have to figure at least one of those guys is going to play substantial snaps, and perhaps maybe we get a little insight as to what the pecking order is for them.
Even so, this is going to be a lot of competitions that we have going on. As we already know this, we still got the college football season that is coming soon, and next week we got high school football season. As the students for high school are going to get ready for their first day of school next week.
Yeah, and I believe some school districts start Monday. I know our local Fort Wayne Community School starts, I believe, on Wednesday. High school football scrimmages, which I've been seeing more and more this summer, happening earlier in the summer. Inter-squad scrimmages up here for a lot of teams will be Friday this upcoming week. A lot of teams just prefer to take that Friday off, get maybe one last walk through practice before officially game week. And then August 19th in the Hoosier State, just 13 days away, it all gets going for real with some heavy hitter matchups right out the gate.
Myself, because we still got, because for our regular season teams, we got a couple of SAC conference managers. Says one, Sherwood Haydock, a friend of mine, is coaching the Wayne Generals still again, as he's going to get ready to be out of town, coming to Fort Wayne to take on the Bishop Dwang, the five-time high school football champions, Bishop Dwanger Saints.
I think he's done a good job early at Wayne. I really think so. That's a team that, aside from when they had the Powers Twins a few years ago, has really not had a whole lot of tangible success. The fact that Wayne actually won a playoff game last year, I know they didn't have an astonishingly great regular season, but they were in just about every game they played, and they played a brand of football that I think that Sherwood Haydock wants them to play. I think he established the culture. I don't know if they'll have that same sustained success, but I think he's laid the groundwork for a good program there at Wayne, and it's a good litmus test right off the gate. And remember, this is the final year where it's going to be an all-SEC schedule. Next year, they're going to start out with non-conference games. So you have a good test in Bishop Dwanger right off the bat to see maybe where your program stands. You can beat a Bishop Dwanger on the road. Now all of a sudden, people may have to start talking about the Wayne Generals, not necessarily to win an SAC championship just yet, but perhaps maybe to make a run in the playoffs. And of course, they're going to want to get that bad taste out of their mouth for everything that happened in that playoff against Mississinewa. They got it handed to them when they were eliminated. And then, of course, there was the big fight that was just a chaotic scene at the end of that game. You know, they've been stewing about that for a few months. They may not see Mississinewa, but this is a chance for Wayne to show that they are building in the right direction, and I feel good about where they're going.
Yeah, but so, with the other SAC matches we got is the Carroll Chargers. They're going to be coming to Fort Wayne, Indiana, to take on the Bishop Bluers Knights. The other, Leo, has a home game against a team from all the way from Kokomo, Indiana, the Kokomo Wildcats, who made their first appearance to the state since the year Woodland made it to the state championship, hoping to have a second chance to win their first successful state title. They lost to the Southbridge Raiders.
Well, and going back to that Carroll Lewis game, we remember the pomp and the circumstance of week one last year when those two teams played. It was the opening of Carroll's brand spanking new, for Indiana high school football terms, palace, quite frankly, of a stadium. It was, I mean, they rolled out the red carpet for it. They really did. And then Bishop Lewis comes in and steals the show, and Bishop Lewis wins that game. And yes, Carroll did go further than the Knights did in the playoffs last year, but you can't tell me they didn't think about that a little bit over the offseason. I know they've got a new quarterback there. You can't tell me that they didn't think a little bit about, man, how special that night would have been if they would have won. And the fact that Bishop Lewis played spoiler, now it's at Lewis. not the same circumstances, sure, but a chance for them to perhaps go over to Bishop Luers there on the southwest side of Fort Wayne and extract a little bit of retribution. So we'll see what they can do here, Carol, as they look to avenge that loss that I'm sure that they spent quite a bit of time last season and over the offseason thinking about.
Well, John, what do you have to say about that for that game?
So I definitely agree that I would like to see Carol kind of fight back. And I agree kind of with Matthew that maybe there was a little bit of focus on their new stadium. And maybe they should have focused on their playing. Now, I mean, obviously, neither one of us are from Carroll. You're a Snyder grad. I'm a Homestead grad. So, you know, I know when I was in, I think, junior year, they just opened up our new stadium, which was a pretty big deal, like, you know, turf field. And now Homestead is getting the whole remodeling again. So I guess my thoughts are... do you think they were a little bit like just overjoyed about their new stadium and maybe that might have clouded their judgment?
I don't know if they're saying that, but my high school, Woodland, they already got their own turf field, and I believe Bluffton got theirs a few years back that they did. When I first came to them, I didn't know that their football field was a turf field at first when I came to Bluffton during my first year managing.
I guess to answer the question, John, like, I don't think they were distracted per se, but I mean, you have to remember these are 14 to 18 year old kids, you know, and I mean, let's not forget when these kids play on Friday night, it's not like what you see for a lot of college football teams or for the NFL, where when you play on a Saturday or Sunday, you basically get up, maybe you go straight to the facility or you just hang out at home for a little bit. These kids, they have to go to, you know, to 6-7 hours of classes, and you know, they'll see all the big signs around the school, they'll see all the school spirit, and they'll hear the chatter about it. And remember, they're more connected now than what they ever were. You know, we didn't go to, even though the listeners may think that we're very old, but we didn't go to high school in the dark ages. But social media wasn't what it was now. These kids have to see all that and hear all that. So there's, I think, an elevated sense of pressure. And if you're the other team, look, I mean, pressure's not really on you. And not to mention, I mean, they didn't just open up with anybody. They didn't open up with some of the teams that we've likened more to being at the bottom of the Summit Athletic Conference, you know, whether it's Wayne or Northrop or Northside or Southside, for example. They opened up with one of the most storied teams in the SAC and one of the best teams last year. A team who I think many thought would have gone further in the playoffs. They had to open up with them. So the fact that they had that on top of the fact that, yes, there was additional pressure, I think, for them to win. I don't know if it was distractions per se, but I think that there were things that weighed heavily on their minds. And Bishop Luers just won the game. I mean, that's what it is. They just outplayed them.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember, you know, too, that Luers had a particularly great season, earlier on. Now I kind of feel like Carol kind of got that momentum back.
Yeah.
Because you know, they definitely I think overshadowed Luers quite a bit in the second half of the season. So you know, but yeah, I definitely agree with you that, you know, kids these days, you know, they definitely have more distractions, more pressure to I guess take it all on. I definitely think though that this year, especially with the loss of Owen, that Carol definitely will come back in a lot of good fashion. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see like a bunch of camaraderie, from other schools, paying tribute to Owen.
Right. I remember when Sam Foltz, God rest his soul, the former Nebraska punter, was killed in an accident a few years ago. And the way that teams showed respect and solidarity for what the Nebraska players were surely going through, I don't think you can quite, you know, comprehend it. Because, like, the thing is, for those that were never involved in group activities in high school or in college, they probably can't fully understand it. But, I mean, like, you know, I mean, you guys remember, you know, I was a Jake, you were part of the team there at Woodland. John, you were part of the band at Homestead. I was part of it at Snyder. When somebody, like, you grow close to your teammates and, you know, and those that you're in there with, and you know when something, you know, really bad happens to them and you can't help but feel it. But I don't know about you guys, but we never had to deal with something quite like that. Something very, very tragic. And that's another thing that, you know, again, like, it's going to be difficult to think how 14 to 18 year olds can respond to that, you know, that somebody that they were so close with. But ultimately, Carroll is going to have to draw on the leadership of the team and their coaches to always be taking the temperature of the team. But to finish the thought, I think that you will see teams do something, you know, probably each game to show respect. Of course, it's going to be competition at the end of the day. But I would think that there would be at least something, some sort of tribute. More likely, I think, you know, maybe the presentation of a jersey or maybe even a moment of silence before a game. That kind of thing, I think, would be very fitting if teams did that. And I think they will.
Even so, because with the other high school football games I got here, Adams Central Flying Jets are last season state runners up. They're going to be hanging out of town up to Garrett to take on the Railroaders. While you mentioned your team, Snyder, they have a home game is taking on the Northside Legends.
That's turned into a very interesting week one series of late. I mean, there was the shocker, really, 2 years ago when, albeit, yes, people will say this, I don't think it was personally as much of an impact as people say, but in the COVID year of 2020, it was a heavily restricted attendance at Spooler Stadium, but Northside just flat out put it on Snyder 2 years ago. Hmm. And the Legends, I have to feel as though they had Snyder last year. I mean, they went for two late. They got it. They took a late lead in the fourth quarter and a long field goal attempt with the same Snyder kicker that missed one going at same end earlier in the game. They had to have thought, that they had a real chance or that it was in their grasp just for Snyder to walk it off with a late field goal. But to have Northside win in a blowout at Snyder, lose a heartbreaker at Chambers Field there at Northside, to now going back to Spooler Stadium, playing on the turf that adorns Northrop's logo, the 50-yard line, which is always a bit of an interesting dynamic, that's turned into something. And again, we don't want to make too much of a big deal out of things that happened, especially week one last year, but that's one of those games I'm sure Northside thought about to think, man, could our season have gone a little bit differently if we had held on to that game? For Snyder, now they're having to say, we beat Bishop Dwinger earlier in the year and then came out completely flat in the playoffs. And they were pretty lucky, in all honesty, to get past Northrop in the round prior. The Panthers know they can go further, and the expectation is that they do. So getting off to a great start is going to be imperative. And we'll see what this matchup that has been really interesting the last few years provides out there.
Even so, because with the other SAC teams I got here, is Kikoria is coming to downtown Fort Wayne to take on the Southside Archers, who that they're not in the mood of getting themselves their first successful state title over the years that they never got, but they had in boys or girls basketball about a few way back they did.
I remember when they had Rafael Davis, the former Purdue Boilermaker that played for them. He certainly led them to some successful years, but that was on the hardwood. They've never had a ton of success on the gridiron, but I do think that Guy League or Tiny League, Coach Lee out there, I think he did a good job establishing culture at Southside last year, and I think that's still a bit of a process, but it's going to take a little bit of time. It's tougher to rebuild in high school than it is in college. College, you can recruit players. Especially when you have a public high school like Southside, you have to get largely players from your area, but there's talented players down there for sure. And one would think that Coach Lee could get it going here in a couple years. I think he has a good feel for his team now, and I think that they've bought in. They have a winnable game, quite frankly, at home against Concordia to start out the year. That's one of those games where if those two teams expect to lodge a serious challenge in the SAC, they have to win. If even if they want to finish in the top half of the SAC, they have to win that game. That's a winnable game for both teams. I would think Southside would pull it out at home, but that's preliminary. We got a couple weeks before we really have to start lodging picks.
Quite so. But we got, but not only that, we got a couple of football matchups that are going to be battling with with Bird teams battling, like Columbia City Eagles. They are taking on the Cherubusco Eagles, another Birds football matchup. But not only them, the Goshen Redhawks are going to take on the Fairfield Falcons. So we're getting a lot of battles with high schools that are home to Birds, one from each school that have different teams or the same name at the same time.
Well, and thinking about it, because you mentioned Bird mascots, I don't think in the SAC, unless you count Northside, which, to be fair, I think Northside's legend logo is a bird, but really, there are no Bird mascots that I can think of in the SAC, which is, you know, again, it's a random thing, but you look at, in college football, the FBS level, I mean, what's a conference that doesn't have that? Or, I mean, or have something related. I think there's a couple, but it's not many. But those four matchups could be kind of interesting, especially Columbia City, Cherubusco, those two teams, rivals up there. And I know Columbia City believes they're posting their quarterback. But both will be looking to get off to a good start this year. And knowing that, you know, get off to 1-0 start, hey, I mean, I think it's more so at the NFL level, but all the analytics favor 1-0 teams doing better than they do 0-1. So get off to a good winning start and just see where it goes from there.
What's up, man? Speaking of which, when you mentioned Homestead, well, Dean and John, those like you better have your team prepared, because I heard that they're going to take on a friend of mine named Liz who works for Parkinson Autism. Her daughter's teams, Northrop, are coming to Homestead to take on those Spartans. So, John, watch out for those Bears, because I think those Bears are going to probably get a bite out of this competition.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, could be upset alert there. I wouldn't bet on it personally, but Northrop has – I mean, they have to find a way to get something going. You know, I know for many years Northrop was – really the top dog when it came to basketball, but I don't just say this as a Snyder alum, but let's face it, Northrop and Snyder in football as a rivalry has not been competitive very much in recent years. So that has to be difficult. That's be difficult when you are not just struggling, but you're looking over, and yes, Snyder maybe has taken a bit of a step back the last few years, but they're consistently always good. Won another share of an SAC title last year. That has to be difficult for them to have to look over at that. Not much you can necessarily do about it, because, again, it's tough to – you can't recruit high school football, at least when you're a public school like Northrop and Snyder are. But when your neighbors and your rivals are Bishop Dwenger and Snyder, and you're really struggling, that has to be difficult. I like your point, Jake. It's week one. You know that everybody circles week one, and they have all the summer to get amped up about this. But I don't think that for four quarters, Northrop will outplay Homestead. I think it could be one of those games where maybe if Homestead is overlooking them and looking ahead, I think they have Snyder early season. If that is the case, then even if it's not early season, they'll have Carroll down the road. They'll have Snyder. They'll have Dwenger Lewis down the road. They may not be looking right in front of them at Northrop. Northrop maybe can catch them early, but I don't think they can sustain that. But formula for an upset, though. Just make sure you're in the game at the end of it. And it comes down to one play, and that you make that play.
Exactly. Homestead still needs to focus on the task at hand. And I agree with Matthew on this one. I do not see an upset for Homestead and Northrop. It's too early in the season to even think that.
Even so, because My friend from Lisbon Partners in Autism, she still supports her daughter's team, the Northrop Bruins. So I say for your time, for you and my helper from Partners in Autism, Liz, I would say for you two, may the best team win, I say.
That's right, right. And to our friends at Partners in Autism, yes, of course, we support Northrop, and also their band, their band could also go very far.
Even so, because I also got here one of Willett's conferences, Southern Wells Raiders. They have a home game against a team from way up in Indiana, the Fremont Eagles. And to tell you the truth, Magic, when I was up there at Southern Wells for a football matchup against them, I noticed that they were also they won the state championship for football in the year after the terrorist attack.
Well, Fremont is practically in Michigan, so it would be a very long bus ride for them to get to downtown Indianapolis Thanksgiving weekend. But having been fortunate enough to have been on two of those bus rides to go to a football state championship game, I can tell you, it really doesn't feel that long because of the excitement. Now, if you lose, a little bit different story, but fortunately the one year I actually took the bus ride back, my alma mater got to be on the winning side of that. But I'm going to tell you right now, 3 hours, whatever it may be, to get to downtown Naptown there, that it will feel like 30 minutes practically with that excitement if Fremont can get there. It's a long shot, but certainly stranger things have happened, and we see a lot of small-town teams get there. It's super cool when they do to see how the community reacts. Maybe we don't get that as much in Fort Wayne.
And when I was in Southern Wells, Matthew, when I started managing for this football team for our conference matchup, you wouldn't believe where they get their water from where we're standing on, that they get their water from under the ground. And I wouldn't drink their water from under the ground if I were you two. Their water tastes like dirt. Literally.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we might have to retract that.
Yeah. And the way how I saw their entrance at the game, they had some kind of a sword in a stone, but it's not real. It's plaster that it looks like they had it at.
Shots fired. Wow. I don't know if anybody watches TNT's coverage of Inside the NBA, but there's a rant I love that Charles Barkley always does. He used to do his former team, the Suns, and he goes on and on about the arena and their concession stands back when they were horrible. that gave me serious vibes for that. But yeah. We love all schools in our area, especially. So yeah. Southern Wells, we love you, and hopefully have a great season. Still a great place to visit. A great stadium, I think we could agree.
Even so, but I do remember my cousin, Big Evan, on my mom's side of the family, he's still being the assistant coach for the South Putnam Eagles, and his team is going to be taking on the, this may sound kind of silly, guys, the Cloverdale Clovers they're going to take on. Their first game.
Right. Don't work harder, work smarter when finding a team nickname. I mean, I suppose if it's right there, Shamrocks is not the most common one, but Westfield already has that. Not that apparently it matters in high school, but yeah, I suppose just take the root word of your city name. Why not?
And for Warren Central Warriors, even though they won the state championship about, I would say, like 4 years ago against their rival team, the Carmel Greyhounds, in their Metropolitan Conference that they were in.
I know Warren Central gets the most attention this year in the MIC, but I've got a feeling about Carmel. I mean, they played a lot of younger guys last year, and they held their own in 6A. I don't know. I just look out for Carmel this season. Warren Central is the class of that conference, with Center Grove practically having graduated about everybody. And, with how many seniors they had, I'm pretty sure the three of us were probably playing for them last year. That's how many seniors that they graduated last year. They had such a great team, reached the top 10 in the entire country. But that now leaves a bit of a vacuum there at the top of the MIC. I still think Warren Central is there, but don't overlook the Greyhounds. Just gonna say that right now.
Because even though we know the Carmel Greyhounds, they are the legendary top fraternity high school team on campus in all of Indiana.
And they also have a million different roundabouts down there. But yeah, to finish, that I've basically Carmel was like a second home, as my grandparents lived there until just a few years ago. So we were down Carmel a lot. That is a huge school, and we had the misfortune at times of competing against them in band. And John knows at home, so you guys actually had some success against them. But yeah. By the time I got to high school, nobody was really having success against them about anywhere.
And we know. And
well, they tried.
And we feel like, and it kind of feels like that the only team who has the power to stop Karma will be you. Your high school is the only one who's powerful enough to stop them.
That's
for soccer, even for band, that you could stand up against.
That's right.
It just seems like your home state Spartans are not afraid of those greyhounds, because even though the greyhounds are one of the only species of dogs that can beat a school bus home.
Maybe, is that why they call it the greyhound bus?
No, I mean...
No, for real, like, where does that come from? Like,
well, it's true. I mean, the type of species of dogs, I mean. Because the greyhounds are the only dogs that can beat a school bus home.
Who knows? Who knows?
It's true.
All right, so with that, we hope you enjoyed our very special high school football preview. The first game will be Friday, August 19th, 2022.
Like I said, with Homestead taking on Northrop, Snyder takes on Northside, and Woodland, they're going to be out of town heading up to Butler, Indiana to take on those nasty Eastside Blazers. I think those Blazers, they're going to have to bring fire for this competition.
That's right. And we wouldn't want to definitely skip out of the show without thanking one of our sponsors, Federated Media, for letting us use this space. So let's give them a shout out. Every Friday night on 1380 The Fan, they have 7 hours of wonderful pregame to postgame back-to-back coverage. Matthew Kleinenberger, who you heard here, will also be doing the halftime show. So here's how this will go. Catch all the games Friday nights on 1380 The Fan. And then we will, of course, wrap up with you, how the games went. So our next broadcast will be on August the 20th, where we will hopefully give you guys some scores and some rundowns and some of some great games. So once again, we hope you enjoyed this high school football preview. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you soon.
And wish those your teams good luck.